Hey, how's it going, folks? Blind Bargains Cast 187, getting you ready for the summer conventions. Whether you're going or whether you're not, we think we have a great show for you this week. This is what we call a features week. We have an interview coming up with Brad Folkins, the CEO of CloudSight. CloudSight is the company behind TapTapC, and they have taken that to the next level. You'll hear all about that coming up in just a bit. Joe and Ricky are on a bit later to talk about Google Home Max and a new keyboard for the Microsoft Surface that they have acquired. Stay tuned for that. We have news from AT Guys, the convention specials, a bunch of new products that we're adding to the mix. So whether you're going to convention or whether you're not, we have some really cool things to share with you that we want to talk about. Also, if you haven't heard yet, Shelley Brisbane has a new documentary. It's been 10 years since the introduction of voiceover on the iPhone. Her documentary, 36 Seconds, is all about that history. We will play a bit of a clip from that a little later on as well. As you can tell, lots packed into this episode, including one more week. Thank you so much to everyone who has registered for the IRA Game Awards. This is the last one, so the registration portion of that is now over. But we do have one more call and potentially one more winner of that to share with you. Stay tuned for that. Of course, you can sign up for IRA at AIRA.io. But first, let's talk a bit about object recognition and TapTapC as we go to an interview that I recorded a bit earlier with Brad Folkins from CloudSight. Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about object recognition. You know, before the modern apps and tools that have come up, before seeing AI, before IRA, before many of these other things, there was TapTapC, probably one of the first and coolest apps for doing object recognition. Now it is going into the next generation. The company is called CloudSight. Brad Folkins is the CEO of CloudSight and is here to tell us about some of the latest developments. Brad, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So why don't you go ahead and tell people how you got started, and then we'll kind of go into where things are at now.
Sure. Yeah. So at the end of 2012, we were looking around at a lot of the different image recognition technology out there. We wanted to create a product that could allow people to search visually. So, you know, like a Google for the physical world. And we were looking around at a lot of the image recognition technology that was out there. And what we found was that it wasn't all that great. You know, Google Goggles was kind of the best thing at the time. And the experience that they had was almost kind of an I'm feeling lucky experience. You know, you take a picture of something and maybe one out of 50 times it would get something correct. And so, you know, as the more we started playing around with building our own platform for image recognition, the more we saw the need for image recognition in a whole lot of different industries. And one of those things that we saw was that, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could help those that were, you know, visually impaired or blind could have some sort of a tool in their hand, on their phone, a device that they've, you know, they've already bought and purchased and everything else, and, you know, had something where they could very easily just take a picture of anything in front of them and have it speak back to them what that is. And so that's when we started also exploring the idea of TapTapC. And surprisingly, TapTapC was actually the first app we released. Released it in the fall of 2012. Very, very small user base at first. I think we had like 4 or 5, maybe 6 downloads in the first month. But then we started working with the Braille Institute. They brought a bunch of users in, you know, people that were using the phone with the accessibility features turned on. And that's when we really started seeing how amazing it was to watch people use this and engage with it and all the little changes that we could make to make it a lot more useful. So we kind of went back to the drawing board, made a bunch of changes to the app, re-released it, and then we started getting thousands of users using the app within just a couple of months. So it was really, really exciting process for us to see that use. And so then in the spring of 2013, we released CamFind. You know, that began to grow pretty substantially. And then everything really kind of moved quickly from there on out. We got an award from the American Foundation for the Blind shortly thereafter. And that was really exciting. And then, you know, technology continues to grow. The company you mentioned that kind of created all this that we've created is called CloudSight. And so these two apps that we created are kind of the user extension, the consumer extension of everything like this. But there's a platform that this all runs on top of. And TapTapC and CamFind are kind of like a demonstration of our technology.
And we'll get into CloudSight and what it does in just a minute. But talk about the evolution of the image recognition from 2012 to now, because I definitely noticed as I've taken pictures of images, the descriptions you get back today are a lot more complex than the ones you got in 2012 or 2013.
Yeah, definitely. So when we first started out, we would annotate things, we'd caption things as like couch or chair or stuff like that, right? But then as time went on, we started getting a lot more into the detail things. So we would say something would be, you know, a leather couch, and then finally a sectional leather couch, and then a 3-seat leather sectional couch. And we've just gotten better and better at the detail as time goes on. So there's essentially two different ways now that we look at things. We look at things either in terms of fine grain object detection, so identifying an object that the user's taking a picture of, or we focus on scene understanding. So understanding the, you know, the action, the story that's going on in the scene, or the different objects in the scene and how they're related and interacting with each other. So in the beginning, it was this kind of very simple coarse-grained response. And then over time, as the technology's gotten better and the advantage that we have over a lot of different other image recognition technology is the more users take pictures, the better the technology gets.
So when people are taking those pictures, they're getting sent off remotely. What happens from there? Is it all automatic? Is there still some human intervention?
Yeah, initially what we were doing, and we kind of pioneered this idea of something called hybrid intelligence or integrated learning, which is the idea that if the computer vision can't understand what the user's taking a picture of, then we have a human that will actually give some sort of a correction or an input in order to, you know, correct the computer vision. And that's fed back into the system, and that's how it learns. And so initially, you know, these responses, a majority of them were being helped or being aided by humans. But over time, as the system's gotten better at recognizing, you know, the things that people take pictures of, more and more of it is done now by computer vision.
So you kind of use the previous responses and the previous interventions to help formulate the future answers that you're giving out for images now.
Yes, that's correct. And that's also what really helps us out with, you know, when a new product comes out or something, you know, like the new iPhone came out. It took a few pictures of it to finally start understanding and recognizing it. But once that was done, then, you know, now the system can do a much better job of recognizing it on its own.
What was the reasoning for having TapTapC and CamFind as separate apps? Because they do kind of the same thing. And a blind person could technically use either one, but TapTapC is a little more tailored versus CamFind.
Yeah, the idea behind TapTapC was always to create something that, yeah, exactly. It was much more tailored towards the blind and visually impaired community, where it was very accessible. The buttons were laid out in a way that it was very easy to use on a daily basis. CamFind was created more for the general audience. We do have everything, all the accessibility things built out in it, but it was also, the other difference between the two apps is that TapTapC tends to focus on scene understanding, so understanding everything that's going on in the image, whereas CamFind tends to focus on fine-grained object recognition. So, you know, if you take a picture of a bunch of things on a desk, it'll find something that's the most prominent in the image, and it'll identify that object with a high degree of detail. So that we've always tried to make the distinction between the two apps is, you know, CamFind is kind of for visual search, for object recognition, for those sorts of things, and TapTapC is more for the understanding what's going on in front of you.
So you're using the images that are coming in to help you learn more about images. Do you have safeguards in place as far as privacy, things like that, the way the images are stored and being shared?
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's always been something that's been a very big deal for us, is privacy, and then also, you know, being careful about how those images are processed. You know, this is something that, especially now as more and more of the images are now being processed by the image recognition, we've actually really glad that we've taken that precaution, because we can see how, you know, there's all sorts of things to worry about, even with image recognition, with bias and all that stuff too. But yeah, that's always been something that's been top of mind and of a huge concern to us.
So that kind of naturally progresses to what you recently announced and what caused us to write you a local version of the image recognition engine created for a whole bunch of different markets. So talk about that and then some of the markets that you're intending to serve.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what was really exciting for us, is that this is all kind of, you know, the past 7 years of preparation of building up the technology and building up the training data. has led us to the point now where we've been able to create the AI that runs on device. And so this really kind of helps with all sorts of, not only the privacy concerns, as you just mentioned, but also being able to use TapTapC without an internet connection, or being able to recognize images within a quarter of a second. I mean, these are sorts of things that we can do today with the new technology that we've developed that weren't possible even a year ago.
So what are some of the industries? You mentioned a few on your website. People might not think of other things besides, you know, blind people using this, but there's obviously lots of other applications for this besides us.
Yeah, you know, it's great because CloudSight, after we released Campfine and TapTapC, a lot of companies, a lot of Fortune 500 companies were coming to us wanting to license our technology. And so that's when we decided to release an API, or in other words, a method where programmers could just plug in to our system, send us an image, and we would send them a response, much like, you know, users take a picture of something and then we send back a response to the user. Developers can do the same thing through CloudSight. And so what ended up happening was, you know, these companies are using the platform, they're sending us images, and we started getting a lot of, you know, fantastic customers in a variety of different industries, e-commerce, stock photography, you know, it's just a lot of different industries that are able to take advantage of what we call visual understanding or image cognition and understanding. And the differentiation that we have is, you know, there's a lot of different image recognition companies out there that will identify, you know, very coarse-grained detail, much like they did years ago when we first started this. They'll say something is a cat, dog, table, or chair, and they're choosing this image class. They call it classification. So they're choosing this image category from one of a finite number of buckets, like say 5,000 or 7,000 buckets. What we do is a little bit different. We describe what's in an image. We have a very flexible, infinite way of describing things, and so that makes the system extremely flexible. And so it's, as you mentioned, it's applicable towards lots of different markets in different ways and different methodologies. And so it's been really exciting for us to see this kind of develop and grow.
The one thing that I noticed as an example, when I tried out TapTapC a couple weeks ago, when it identified a coffee maker and paired the brand with it and told me it was sitting on a brown, you know, counter, it had that all in the same description.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And this is the nice thing about how flexible this sort of visual cognition engine is that we've developed. Is it's funny you mentioned that, because I just took a picture of this glass the other day, and it said it was a, if I remember this correctly, green translucent drinking glass with straw, because there was a straw in it, you know, and then... And then I turned it a little bit and I took the straw out. And this is our mobile version. This is the new mobile version where it's just running all on the phone, right? You know, we had to shrink the AI neural network down a little bit to fit it on the phone and stuff. And it still does a good job of this. So I filled it up with some coffee, took the straw out, and then it said clear translucent drinking glass with brown liquid, because it couldn't quite tell it was coffee, right? So there's like all sorts of really fascinating things that happen when, you know, you're able to build and what we did basically was build this engine to understand like a human would, to understand, you know, not just in terms of these coarse grain classes or categories that so many different people that are building image recognition technology do, but building something that can actually understand what it sees. And, you know, as you modify, as you change the objects in the scene or change the relationships with them, it can pick up those little nuances.
So I can see this meaning a lot for the future of TapTapC and Camfine, although I see you probably would still have advantage to people uploading images, so you can still hone your database, but yet the advantage to local is great as well. So where do you see these apps going in the future?
Yeah, you know, there's ways that we can still take advantage of a learning loop, you know, even with having the technology on the phone. And that's something that we're still kind of playing around a little bit before we roll this out. But yeah, you know, it's definitely something that we want to try to keep going is, you know, how do we continue to learn? How do we give that power to the users? How do we allow the users to maybe train their own specific subset of things? Because that could be something that, you know, is very specific to the user. And, you know, Apple's announced a whole bunch of things last week at their WWDC conference. We actually did a demo at the WWDC conference with them too, of this new version of TapTapC. But they've announced a bunch of new technology that allows us to take advantage of these new features that are on the phone, where, you know, we can have the user customize something for themselves and those sorts of things. So there's a lot of really exciting technology that's coming out, you know, over the next couple of months, over the next year, that we'll be able to take advantage of. And so it's really, really exciting time.
That's very cool. So do you anticipate there being an updated version of TapTapC with new technology, or would you prefer to sell the local recognition to someone else creating apps for the blind, or maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah, it could be both. I mean, we do a lot of licensing deals with CloudSight, and that's really kind of where our business model is. You know, we are a sort of a platform where, you know, we have an API and companies can plug into us. But we have done deals before where, you know, we license out the technology, where people can embed it into their own apps and those sorts of things. So we're very flexible in a lot of the different things and you know, solutions that we create for companies and other people that are creating apps. And so, you know, that's something that that's a possibility now that the technology is available on device.
One thing I also noticed on the app, which I thought was kind of interesting, or quite interesting, it came and then it went, maybe it's coming back soon, the video support. What's the status of that, and how's right. that working?
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. So we were all excited about this, and we launched it, and you know, we thought this was going to be kind of the next new thing, and then there really weren't all that many people that used it, and so we were kind of disappointed with that. We took it offline, and we said, okay, you know, we're going to go back to the drawing board and take a look at it and see what worked, see what didn't work, see what was useful, see what wasn't. And then probably, you know, do something later on where we you know, put that back and we start doing more things with video. Right now, you know, our focus really is just kind of getting the technology on device. And, you know, what we announced a couple weeks ago was sort of like this big leap forward for us in being able to get things small enough to fit on a phone. And that was really kind of the biggest thing, too, for us was that, you know, all this stuff kind of runs in the cloud and it's very big and it's very heavy and it takes a lot of power. And so being able to get that to run on a mobile phone with the kind of power, you know, it's like just a battery, right? You know, so there's only so much power on a phone and you've got certain technology, certain chips that the phone has inside of it. So it was a big jump for us to get to the phone. And so that's really where a lot of our excitement is around, you know, what we're going to be able to create now that it runs on device. And, you know, we'll take a look at the video too to see what we can do in the future with that.
Really appreciate you coming on and sharing all the insights. I know a lot that has gone into this app over the past several years. It's been really fun to follow it and try it out and see the enhancements over the years. If people want to download it or try it out, if they for some reason haven't gotten the app on their phone, what's the best way to do that?
Sure, yeah. The best way is just to go to the App Store, both on Android and also on Apple. And you can download TapTapSee. If you search for just TapTapSee, you can download it and play around with it.
And if they want to send feedback or maybe even inquire about the API or other things, what's the best way to contact?
So yeah, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can message us on Twitter at TapTapSee, or you can send us an email at support or contact at cloudsight.ai.
And that's cloudsight, CloudSight.
Dot AI, yeah. That's it.
Dot AI. Awesome. Thank you so much, Brad. Really appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
The IRA Game of Words.
Yes, the last week, the IRA Game Award. This has been such a fun contest. Thank you so much to IRA for partnering with us on this. It's been a lot of fun. We've given away, with the help of IRA, 2 iPhone XRs, $1,000 in cash. Let's see if we can add $500 more to that in just a minute. So stay tuned for that. But first, one more IRA Did You Know? And this is a Did You Know that is very close to my life and many of us that work on this show as small business owners. So, did you know that IRA and Intuit QuickBooks have a small business owner's offer that delivers IRA access benefits to people who are self-employed, small business owners, or independent contractors? If you qualify and have a free IRA account, you can use the small business owner's offer for tasks like reading or purchasing inaccessible business materials, preparing for or conducting business meetings, hiring activities such as reading resumes and business cards, business financial activity, and many more business-related tasks. Now, for more information on business tasks that qualify for the small business owner's offer, visit aira.io/intuit. Intuit is spelled I-N-T-U-I-T. That is aira.io/intuit. I love the small business owner's offer. I've mentioned that on many occasions on this podcast, and not just because, you know, they are a sponsor of us at the moment, but it's something that it's really helped us along through AT Guys and Blind Bargains, being able to do a lot of things. One of the biggest things that I have used a lot is TeamViewer. If you have a Windows or Mac computer, install TeamViewer on your computer. It's free. and then you can connect to agents to have them move around, move your mouse, do things on the computer. And you know what I do? I have NVDA running, and I keep NVDA running, generally speaking, while the TeamViewer session is loaded. So I call them up, I give them my login info, which changes from session to session, so there's no worry about someone stealing that information. I give them that information, and then I can pretty much direct them where to go. So usually it's reading a text on an image, or describing an inaccessible image on a website or a product page, or trying to fill out some sort of form where I just can't click the buttons. You know, again, of course, the goal is built-in accessibility for everyone, but sometimes that just isn't the case at the moment. So Ira steps in great for these situations and helps me conduct activities as a business owner. So really cool. Again, AIRA.io/Intuit. One more chance for a $500 winner. Let's go to the call. This is Jordy from Ohio. Good luck.
Thank you for calling Ira. This is Belle. Congratulations. You've been chosen to play the Ira Game of Words. Are you excited?
Belle, it's you. It's you. Me. I think I can win now. Now that I know it's you, I think I can win. All right.
All right, so here's how it works. I'm going to give you a word, and we'll work together to find each of the letters in order on different items. So it can be mail, food labels, computer monitor, anything else around you. But the rule is we cannot use the same item for more than one letter.
Okay.
Very good. We will have 3 minutes to spell the entire word. Okay. Okay. Do you have objects near you?
I have a hodgepodge of things near me, so I hope that I have enough.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait for a countdown clock to be at a really good spot to make sure that we count down the 3 minutes.
Okay.
Also, for you to know what our word is.
All right.
The word is plan. 3 minutes, go.
All right, let's see. All right, here we go.
That is an American flag. It says, I pledge allegiance. So you'll need to call out the letter if you hear it.
Okay, gotcha.
The word is plant. So the first letter we're looking for is...
Wait, so the word is plan or clan?
Plan, P like Paul.
Plan. Okay, got it. Pledge allegiance, pledge.
Perfect. So next word we need is L. Different item.
Here we go, got here.
And that is promote public health and safety.
All right. We got the L in public. Can we use whatever word, whatever letter in the word we want?
It has to be in order. So we have the L in public. Next word, next letter we need is A.
A.
Okay. That is a go stay kit.
All right. We got a stay kit. We got an A.
Excellent.
And we got, how about this thing here? We need an N.
We need an N. And that says transitions and connections.
All right. And we have an N there in transition. So how about that?
That is plan. You did it. It's just over a minute. So you have...
That's what's up. Good. I like to hear that.
That's exciting. So... you have won $500 cash prize.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so should I dance and stomp?
Dancing and stomping.
Okay, well, I am too now. There we go. Very cool. Thank you so much, Belle. I appreciate your help with that.
You have a great rest of your day and enjoy.
So can I ask a question? Can I use your assistance to now turn off all the lights that I turned on to make sure that the lighting was appropriate?
Absolutely.
There you go. One more winner. That is so awesome. We've given away $1,500 in cash and 2 iPhone XRs. That's an amazing haul for 5 lucky people. Thanks so much to Jeff and everyone at the Ira team for making everything happen, all the agents and everyone else that was involved. Really cool stuff. And we're going to have more from Ira coming up. They're going to have a special pre-convention special that we're recording soon, which will talk about all of the Ira deals at convention and some of the other latest offers with Ira. So watch for that in your podcast feed coming up in a matter of a few days.
This is the Blind Bargains Cast.
Hey, it's that time of the year once again, the AT Guys Convention Showcase, an annual tradition here on this podcast where we tell you about some of the new things that we're going to have this summer. Now, we will be in Las Vegas at the NFB convention at the Mandalay Bay. Hotel. The exhibit hall is open Monday through Thursday, so that's July 8th through 11th. There are times in the agenda that you can stop by to do that. If you're not going to be in Vegas, that's okay. We'll have a coupon code for you as well. We do regret that we're not able to get to every single one of these shows. We are a small company and we can't go everywhere, but we'll have a coupon for the people that are not able to come to Vegas. So stay tuned as well. We have a bunch of new products that we want to tell you about. In fact, I've recorded a couple of demos that are going up on our website for a couple of our new products. The first one is a really cool new Bluetooth speaker called the MaxBoom 360. It's from a company called Tribit, and it's one of the coolest speakers that I think we've ever had. The 360 is for 360-degree sounds, so whether you're in front of it, behind it, it doesn't matter. You will hear awesome audio from this speaker. Let me describe it first, and then we will let it play some music. So as it's facing me, it's about 7 or 8 inches tall and about 2 inches on each side. So it stands vertically, and on each of the four sides, you can feel a nice fabric cover that protects the speaker. It's actually waterproof, so you can take it with you in the bathroom, have it sitting near the shower if you want. That's totally fine. It even floats, so you can take it out to the pool and have it float around near you. Pretty cool. So as it's facing me, there are three buttons from top to bottom. The top button has a plus sign on it for volume up. Below that is the multi-function button, which feels like a circle. That's the one that you would use to play and pause music, skip to the next song by pressing it twice, skip to the previous track by pressing it three times, or holding it down for voice, search, Siri, or Google. Below that is a minus, which is used for volume down. Turning it around to the back, there are also three buttons. The top one is the power button. The middle one is the Bluetooth pairing button, which also can be used to connect two speakers together. More on that in a second. And below that is a thing called X Bass, which gives you a bit extra bass when you press that button. Now, below this are two ports, one for line-in and one for micro USB. They are both covered up by a piece of rubber because, remember, it's waterproof and you don't want to get water or anything else into those ports. But yes, you can plug in an 1/8-inch cord for line-in and you can charge this via micro USB. So let's do a quick audio demo so you can hear what the speaker sounds like. This is a song from an artist called ExoCat. We do appreciate them letting us use this for our audio demo. It's playing from my phone right now, but we're about to switch over to the speaker so you can hear the difference. Now, obviously, this is a decent sounding phone, so you have a little bit of sound, but you're going to hear the difference once it switches over to the speaker, especially in the amount of bass that the speaker produces. Here we go. It's about to switch over right now. And I can turn it in different directions and you still get the same sound because remember it is a 360 speaker. You can also pair two of these things together, so you can have one on one side of the room and one on the other side of the room, and they will sync up and both play the same thing. That will happen with dual mono, so you get the same thing out of both speakers. The advertised Bluetooth range is up to 60 feet. In reality, I would say probably 40 to 50, but it does seem to be a bit stronger than other Bluetooth devices, and I use it around pretty much all of my house without any breakups or anything like that. It also advertises up to 20 hours of playtime. That is a lot. Now, of course, if you're on full blast, you might get a bit less than 20, but you're still going to get many, many hours of playtime without having to recharge the speaker. It's available now from AT Guys for $69.95. Go to atguys.com. You can email support at atguys.com or call 269-216-4798 and leave us a message, and we'll be happy to help you out. Yes, and we will have those at convention. You can stop by and you can hear them. We'll try to have two of them connected to each other so you can hear what they sound like. We've also formed a really cool partnership with Way Around. We've talked about Way Around before. Those are the tags that you can use to label just about anything from clothing to food items to office equipment, much more. So we've partnered with Way Around and we'll be selling Way Around products at convention at our booth. By the way, the booth is A27, A28. I don't think I mentioned that earlier. I did now. So you can stop by and check out the Way Around system. If you have an iPhone 7 or newer, or most Android devices, you can use NFC on your phone to read these tags. They are reusable, so you don't have to keep using the same tags over and over. And they come in several different styles, from stickers and magnets to two different kinds of buttons and clips. They start at about $1 a piece, and we'll have free ones at convention. So if you haven't tried it out yet, come by. We'll get you a free Way Tag sticker. If you're not going to convention, you can get a free sticker as well. We'll put the link in the show notes for that. We have another new cool product. We've been looking for a nice foldable Bluetooth keyboard for a long time, and we finally found it. It's from a company called Pluggable. It is a tri-fold Bluetooth keyboard with a stainless steel finish that is fun to type on and pretty much has full-size keys. So I have it folded right now. When I unfold it by popping open the two pieces on the top, one, two, the keyboard automatically turns on. I have it paired to my Android phone right now, but you could also just as easily pair it to iOS or a Mac or Windows computer. It has six rows of keys. The top row has media, keys, play, pause, previous and next track, things like that. They could also be F1 through F12 if you use it with the function key. Below that, you have the number row. Then you have your regular QWERTY keyboard layout. And then the bottom from left to right goes Control, Function, Windows, Alt, Space, another Alt, and another Windows. And then your four arrow keys. Those keys, of course, turn into your Mac and iOS keys when you are paired to an iPhone or a Mac. You can also use the keyboard both Bluetooth and USB. You just press a quick keyboard command, function plus the number one for Bluetooth mode, which it comes in by default, or function plus the number two for USB mode. So you can plug it into a computer and use it as USB, or you can connect it to your phone, of course, and use it as a Bluetooth keyboard. And like I said, as soon as you unfold it or fold it, it turns it off and on. So when I fold it back up, the keyboard automatically turns off. I don't have to worry about draining battery life. It comes with a nice case and stand, which you can use to stand up your phone pretty much vertically. Great if you're trying to watch videos or do other things like that. And it's quite sturdy. While it's not entirely designed to sit on your lap without some other form of reinforcement, in other words, it doesn't lock, it is very sturdy to set on a desk or set on any harder surface, and you can type with ease. And the key spacing is pretty close to a smaller laptop, 11 or 12 inches, when you unfold the keyboard. The layout is just what you would expect. All of your number and letter keys, including your arrow keys, are in the exact locations that they would be on a laptop keyboard, and pretty much every key is there. The only ones that aren't are your page up, page down, home, and end, which you access with function plus the arrow keys. Very cool stuff. You can get your Bluetooth keyboard and your Bluetooth speaker from us. You can also wirelessly charge your phone thanks to a new wireless charger that we're carrying from a company called Iotti. This is a wireless charger that you can use to charge newer iPhones, so iPhone 8 or newer, or most Android phones. You can just drop the phone on the charger, whether you want to sit it on vertically or horizontally, portrait or landscape, and the phone will start charging. Now, there's a few cool things about this one. One, it has a fabric base, so the phone won't slip off the charger. It's very easy to line up your phone, and you can tell right away if your phone is charging. It also charges at the maximum standard for wireless, 10 watts, so you will get the fastest possible wireless charging. We'll have those for $44.95. Aftershock's products have been a big part of our booth for several years, and they've become a bit cheaper, so the Trex Air, our most lightweight Bluetooth headsets available, are $119.95 now, down $30. Trex Titanium, $79.95. If you use Aftershock, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago and you haven't tried one out lately, I urge you to give it another shot. They've become a lot lighter. The sound stays in your head and not towards your neighbors. They've gotten a lot better with that. And they just look stylish. They're really cool. I wear my Trex Air all the time. So we'll have them in the booth. You can come by and check them out. Trex Air, $119.95. Trex Titanium, $79.95. We'll still have some of our classic items as well. The Matthias full-size Bluetooth keyboard. We'll have that for $95 at convention. That's the one that pairs up to four devices at once. Or the R2 Mini Bluetooth keyboard for $45. We have just a few of them left, and those will be gone for good. So if you want one of those, stop by and get one. The SoundPods portable Bluetooth speaker will also be in the booth as well. That's the mini round Bluetooth speaker that you can connect either wirelessly or wired, or drop a micro SD card in that as well. $49.95. We are carrying the BrailleMe. The BrailleMe is a low-cost Braille display from Innovision and brought into the U.S. more recently. It is really come a long way since we first looked at it more than a year ago. It's a 20-cell display with cursor routing keys, forward and back translation for Braille, and it has drivers for NVDA, so it works with NVDA, also works with iOS and Android and the Mac. So you can connect it Bluetooth to any of these or USB as well. You can type in simple notes and text documents using the built-in text editor. I think it's a really good opportunity for those who want a Braille display, want to try something out, but you don't have the money to get one of the more expensive models. Come by and take a look at this. It's come a long way since it first started out, and it's going to be available for $499. Speaking of headsets, we have another Bluetooth headset to tell you about called sleep phones. You might have heard of these before. These are the headphones that you wear, well, while you're sleeping or while you're in bed. You know, you try to lay on a regular pair of headphones, and I've done this. You try to lay on your side, and it just hurts. You can't do it very well. Well, sleep phones are soft and comfortable. They can optionally cover your eyes if you want as well, and they are comfortable to lay on. You can listen to music. You can drown out and see your surroundings, and you can have a comfortable night's sleep. They're Bluetooth and very easy to use. Available for $99.95 from our booth. We still have our accessible battery pack, the portable battery pack called EnerGrid. It's accessible by both vibrating or beeping to let you know how much is left in the battery. Anywhere from 1 to 4 vibrations or beeps tells you how much battery is left in the power bank. It's a 15,000 milliamp battery, so it'll charge your iPhone 4 or 5 times from a single charge of the battery. We'll have them in the booth at a bit of a sale price as well, $69. Of course, we still have classics like our tactile screen protectors. We'll have several of them around as well. Anything from an iPhone 4 up to an iPhone XS Max. There are screen protectors for just about any model, and you can get them all at our booth as well. Of course, we'll still have other things like the Microspeak talking digital voice recorders, the simple voice recorder with voice prompts to help you record easily. $59.95 in the booth. We do sell Shelly Brisbane's awesome iOS book, iOS Access for All, available for $25. And we also sell HumanWare's Victor Reader Trek, the all-in-one book player and navigation aid. Lots more to check out as well. ATguys.com is the website. If you want to order and pick it up at NFB 2019, use the coupon code NFB19. Use that code if you're going to be coming to Vegas, and you can pick up your items in the booth. We'll have them there and ready for you. NFB19 is the coupon code. If you're not going to be at the NFB convention, but you still want to buy something, you can use the code SUMMER19, and we will give you free shipping on your order. You'll get the same prices as anyone who's coming to convention. Again, that coupon code is SUMMER19. So use NFB19 if you're coming to convention and you want the item to be there. Use SUMMER19 if you're not coming to convention or if you want the item shipped straight to your house. If you have any questions, you can email us at support@atguys.com or call us and leave a message at 269-216-4798. We'll do our best to return those phone calls as soon as possible. Many of us will be at conventions, so it might take a little longer than normal. So we do appreciate your patience. Speaking of spending money, Joe and Ricky have bought some new stuff. Now, I saw this tag when they recorded this, and it said Surface Max. And I should have known better, knowing how Joe likes to combine words and titles. And I went on Google and I searched for Surface Max so I could try to, you know, get a little information. Oh, Surface Max, is this a new Surface? No, this is actually a recording about the Google Home Max and a new keyboard for the Surface. So two separate things. So twice the bang for your buck with Joe Steinkamp and Ricky Enger right here on Blind Bargains Cast 187.
Okay, we've got a moment to catch you up on some things that we have here in the office. I've got Ricky back with me. Hi, Ricky.
Hello.
So a year ago, we talked about the Google Home Max. In fact, it was January of last year. And, well, they've had some amazing sales on Google Home Max, especially for Father's Day. And I broke down, but really, really suffered. And click the buy button, and now we have two.
Oh my gosh!
We were trying to decide. Do you call them Maxis?
Yeah, Maxis? But that would make the like the singular would be Maxis if you call them Maxis, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. Yep. The interesting thing about having two Google Home Maxes is that they will pair automatically, which is cool. the Google Home app will see them and say, hey, do you want to pair these two Google Home Macs? And you tell it yes. It will actually change your individual speakers into one speaker pair, and it's called by that. So the original Google Home Macs that we had, and now its brother, were definitely turned into one thing, and then it considers them a speaker group. So we called that stereo. So it ignores what the original name of the first Macs was. And I never even really named the second one, but now it doesn't matter because they're all now part of one speaker group, and you refer to it as a speaker group and play things over there. Kind of interesting thing, I mentioned this to Ricky, when I was going through the setup process, it asks you new questions such as, would you like to go ahead and set up Google Express? You know, what's your payment options? So they're walking you through more steps beyond what is your favorite audio service that you would like to connect to, and of course, voice match, which you would do. The other thing is that our original Google Home Macs laid on its side, and now you have to place them vertical in order to get the woofers and the tweeters to broadcast accordingly. So you place it with a volume control on the right side, and she'll tell you if you place her upside down, she gets really, really mad.
Yeah, and she sounds weird too.
That's the other thing, is that all your voice queries will come out of the left speaker.
And it sounds strange, and I really can't pinpoint why, because I'm accustomed to having that left speaker be the single speaker. And so I know what the voice sounds like coming out of it. Now it sounds very different. It's almost as if the voice is not only coming out of the left speaker, but like a particular point on the left speaker rather than the entire speaker is used to broadcast the voice. It could be just me getting used to it, but it does sound very strange, and I'm still kind of caught off guard by it.
And the volume is a little different. So what would be a 5 in your room and probably really loud is still really loud when you have two speakers, but the way that it beamforms sound around you takes on different acoustics all the way around. It's still direct line of sight kind of audio. It has always been very direct audio. So if you sit too far on the left side, you definitely know that you are on the left side of a speaker pair. And you can angle them and you can do some things to kind of help with that. But it radiates sound higher. So Ricky was sitting upstairs and she had mentioned to me that the music traveled as if it was right there near her.
Yeah, I felt like I was at the club, and I think it was actually louder, or at least a very different experience for me upstairs rather than being directly in the room with it. And we have a house design where the upstairs kind of has a chair railing, so it's sort of an open stairwell where things can bounce up and be very interesting. And yes, it was. I again felt like I had walked into the club. The only thing that was missing was a bunch of people yelling loudly over the music. And
do you ever come here? What's your name?
Game? Yeah. I don't play any games.
Yeah, it's great. The speakers, of course, stand vertically now, and that means where we have them along our kind of bookshelf, windowsill kind of thing, it means that because they're now standing up, we're getting two woofers directly in our hearing range. So where you're doing placement really does matter with two Macs more than one Mac. One Mac seems to be really good for some rooms as a traditional bookshelf speaker. But when you're starting to put them into a pair, it does fill up a room differently, and it does actually do some things auditorily. Now, with all that said, it sounds really good.
It sounds amazing. Do keep in mind that it's a learning speaker or whatever, in that it does its kind of beam forming for a little while after you place it somewhere. So it initially may not sound quite right. And then you notice, hey, wait, it's good now. So that can be a challenge if you're looking for the exact right place to put it, and it's making changes in the background too. We've finally figured it out. But again, do keep in mind that what the first song sounds like may be different than what the third song sounds like, because changes may have happened.
Absolutely. And you get a third little control in your Google Home app. So you have bass, treble, and now you have the ability to play with balance.
Yep.
So that's super cool. But yeah, Google Max, highly recommend, and even more so if you can afford or have the ability to place it somewhere without getting evicted, I recommend two. But just be careful where you place them, because all the things we said in our initial review last year do still apply. You have to be very, it's finicky. It's very, very finicky. Another thing that's kind of finicky is this little keyboard on the Surface Go. Hey, Ricky, I got a Surface Go keyboard. It's right here.
Yeah, it's a type cover, and I think it's kind of cool. You had different feelings about it?
I have a couple of misgivings about it. You know, it is one of those flat, monolithic Old Testament keyboards in that the letters are very wide and spacious. So if you're not used to that, you're more of a chiclet style person. That might be a problem. If your fingers sit in a weird sort of way on your home row, like you're not perfect sitting at perfect attention, you might be thrown off by the flatness of the type keyboard. And initially I was pressing T instead of R and
Yeah. No, it's not as flat and weird to type on as a Mac Butterfly keyboard. That would have flown out the window had that been the case. I would not have felt guilty about that. But it's the feel is nice for typing on, but it is definitely a thin, flatter keyboard. So it could take some getting used to. What I really liked about this was that it was idiot-proof in terms of how it connected to the Surface itself. So I was kind of making things overly complicated, which I occasionally might have the tendency to do, and thinking, how does this work? How do I put it on the snap? Oh, that's how.
Just like that. I'll pull it off again. It's you line it up, the bottom of it, and boom. You line that up, the magnets grab a hold, and it locks right into the place in landscape. So
yes,
landscape with your power button at the top left and your headphone jack to the right, and then it plugs right on in, and that is the way you go ahead and do that. And the good thing about that is if you're setting up a computer for the first time, this is a way around the original problem we talked about with the Surface Go, where you couldn't bring up Narrator, because now you have the keys to bring up Narrator with your keyboard.
Yes. Speaking of that, I just wanted to say a couple of quick things about that experience. I was actually contacted by a listener who has this same machine, and she had accidentally turned off Narrator, as sometimes happens. And turning it back on without a keyboard is a major challenge. And this is something that I'm hoping Microsoft will work on. There is the accessibility icon in the bottom right of the screen, and I've never managed to get this to work reliably. Even if I get my finger right on it, it will initially speak, but then you have to tap Narrator to actually get Narrator to start. And I haven't managed to do that. So I did a little experimenting, and if you do have a keyboard, there are a number of ways that you can start Narrator. Of course, Control Windows Enter. You can also enable the Cortana Windows C shortcut and tell Cortana to do what you want, turn on Narrator, turn off Narrator. But if the challenge is, well, I don't have a keyboard and I'm trying to use this as a tablet only, the best way I've found to do this is to enable the Hey Cortana feature, where it's always listening for that wake word, and then you're able to tell it to turn on Narrator and turn off Narrator. What I haven't yet experimented with is what the battery life is like once you turn on that always listening feature.
Yeah, and Explore by Touch is very different in Windows than, say, Android or iOS. So if you're bringing up the accessibility menu down in the right, you have to kind of sort of learn that menu. So it's good to explore with that ahead of time if that's something you think you're going to run into, because it doesn't flick the same way. And moving your finger just ever so slightly on the smaller space can be problematic. You don't have a applications key. There we go. You don't have an application key on this. There are arrow keys. There is a function key. There are media keys. We found those out.
There are media keys, yes.
Surprise. There is a mouse pad at the bottom, and you can press the far right to bring up your right-click menu if you're a mouse-driven user. So there is that. The back of it is kind of felt feeling. It can pick up dust, but it does fold nicely into itself because it's designed for that. And it does hold itself together. It doesn't really fly open. When you do pull it apart, though, you would put the keyboard directly towards you, and then you would use the kickstand in a lot of cases. If you have a very wide lap or a very nice area where you can still get some reflection of the speakers on a table, you might want to do it that way if you don't like actually placing the unit in its upright position.
Yeah, and one thing I like about the type cover is that it is a cover. So as Joe mentioned, you can fold it over and it has its felt outside. But it's a nice way, in my mind, to protect the screen when traveling, and it has the added benefit of being a keyboard. So there's that.
And light. Doesn't
yeah,
add
very
that much
light. Weight. It yeah. adds really almost nothing to the weight of the Surface. So it, if you don't have a Bluetooth keyboard and weren't really needing it for other devices, and you're just looking for something to make your Surface a little easier to use, you kind of want that keyboard, or you want, again, protection when you're traveling with the added benefit of having a keyboard, then the type cover makes a lot of sense.
And pairing this with a Braille display, wow. This is really small. This is really easy to carry around. If you're looking for something that's Windows-based as a note taker and you still want to have flexibility, you know, connect your Braille display to an iPhone or to this or something else. Yeah, that's the way to kind of look at things. You could still do a USB-C hub if you want to carry things with you. There are a couple out there from Pluggable. And, of course, there is a Surface dock if that's what you're interested in. Usually on sale at Best Buy, believe it or not. Best Buy has been running some crazy sales on Microsoft stuff. And Walmart, at the time of this recording, the Surface Go that we talked about a few weeks ago is $296. So if you're thinking about just having a really small computer on the go to take with you and take notes or just to use for quick browsing, it's not a workhorse. It's not going to be a desktop
replacement.
No, I was going to
say, it's not a powerhouse. You're not going to get this little tablet and be like, I want to be rendering video and playing a few, you know, graphics-intensive games for whatever reason. No, don't do that.
Yeah, but it's really cool and worth a look. So those are some additional purchases that we've bought off of things that we've talked about before, and we thought we'd just fill you in on how things are going with those. So check out the links in the show notes, as usual, to our previous comments about these devices if you want to hear more about Google Home Max or if you want to hear more about Surface Go.
Tech and other stuff. You're listening to the BBQ.
Hey, we have just a bit more than 36 seconds left in this podcast. Actually, we have a few minutes left. So I wanted to share a clip from a documentary that you might have heard about that I mentioned at the beginning of the show from our good friend Shelley Brisbane, who has now produced a documentary called 36 Seconds, all about the 36 seconds and change history and how voiceover became a thing on the iPhone. It's been 10 years now. Wow. It's been 10 years now since voiceover was first a thing on the iPhone. But how did it all start? Well, here's just a small clip from the 36 Seconds documentary.
In 2008, people who were hoping for more accessibility from Apple had a few reasons to be optimistic. But there was still a lot to be done. In the spring, the iTunes app for the Mac finally became accessible to blind users, meaning that the voiceover screen reader could now speak the names of songs and menus. Wait, wasn't the Mac already accessible? Well, even though voiceover could navigate the computer and many apps, some older ones, like iTunes, were not, even with voiceover, accessible. Now, Apple finally fixed that, and the iPod Nano, a tiny music player with a scroll wheel, not a touchscreen, got its own much simplified version of voiceover, too.
When you synced your iPod from your computer, it made up audio files of all the things that it would ever need to say.
Darcy Bernard had been an early Mac adopter, struggling with iTunes and teaching himself to make the most of voiceover. He says that even the iPod's addition of something like a screen reader gave him hope there would someday be an accessible iPhone. As it happened, Apple launched the iPhone App Store that year, too. a move that would have important consequences when and if the iPhone ever got a screen reader. Like baby animals and flowering plants, Apple rumors come to life in the spring. And in that season of 2009, guesses and some actual leaks about what Apple would announce at the annual developers conference in June began to appear online.
There was a little bit of a leak. Somebody had said they'd seen reference made to VoiceOver in the code.
Kara Quinn had become a Mac user, and she knew that the name of the Mac's screen reader popping up in code for the iPhone meant something big could be in the works.
36 seconds that changed everything. How the iPhone learned to talk. It's available now. If you are subscribed to The Parallel, you can get it. It's the latest episode that has just come through, number 20. Or you can go to 36seconds.org. That's the numbers 36 seconds, spelled out, SECONDS.org. Well, we have now about 36 seconds left, so I'm going to get out of here, get ready to pack up for convention. We will have some things on our feed coming up over the next few days, some convention interviews and much more. So follow our feed. That's what we'll be doing for the next couple of weeks. Convention coverage, that Iris special, much more. Stay tuned for all of that. And then we'll be back with a wrap-up show and much more towards the end of the summer. We do appreciate you listening, subscribing, and sharing the podcast. Of course, you can email us, feedback@blindbargains.com. Tweet us at blindbargains. Facebook message us at blindbargains. Wherever you find us, you can probably write us. Thank you so much to Patrick Perdue for putting this all together and being very flexible with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Joe and Ricky for coming on the show. Thanks to Brad Fulkins from CloudSight for coming on to talk about the evolution of TapTap-C. Also appreciated as well. Thanks again also to our sponsor this week, Aira. Do sign up for Aira. You can go to aira.io. Lots of cool services even on the free plan, but definitely sign up aira.io to sign up for your Aira account today. We definitely appreciate Aira sponsoring us this week on the BBQ. That's going to do it, folks. We'll see you at convention. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.